Palm Sunday. Seems like an ordinary Sunday, except it's got cold again. There's snow in the mountains. Jesus came to the edge of town, a place called Jerusalem. And it was on the day that we now call Palm Sunday that he and his disciples began to enter the city. We remember this day for what took place on the streets of Jerusalem. It was the day when he would come to Jerusalem for the final time. And 5 days later, he would be dead. But praise God that on Sunday afterwards, he arose from the grave and now has ascended to heaven and is preparing a place for each and every one of us. Palm Sunday is the beginning of what we call Holy Week. All traditions have different traditions of how they celebrate this particular week. But it's a time for us to reflect. It's a time for us to remember. It's a time for us even to celebrate that cruel and untimely and very unnecessary, as far as the world is concerned, cruel death of our Lord and Savior. It was on Palm Sunday that he publicly announced for the world to understand that he is the Lord. He is the King, He's the Everlasting One, He is the Son of the Living God, and He had come here for the salvation of us all. It was on Palm Sunday, in the streets of Jerusalem, that as He entered into the town, the word spread, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, and they went and they got palm branches, and they laid them down on the street. And as He entered into the king, into the city, not on the back of a stallion, which would have represented that there was work yet to be done, there were fights yet to be fought, but yet he came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, which was in itself the symbol of peace. Peace because victory had already been won. Just 5 days later, the crowds would turn from saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord to crucify him. We have no Lord, no king but Caesar. In just 5 days, those who would lay down palm branches and praise him would then jeer as the Roman soldiers would whip him. The palm branches were symbols of goodness and victory. And to us today, they still remain symbols of our victory through Christ over sin, death, and the grave. Paul said, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In 1 Corinthians. The donkey reminds us of the peace that passes understanding. Zechariah prophesied, Rejoice gently, greatly. O daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having the salvation in him, humbly and mounted on a donkey. When the people shouted, Hosanna, they meant, save us. Save us from this corrupt and evil world. Save us from our problems and our difficulties and our pain and all that's going on in our lives. Save us. But Jesus had other things in mind. They wanted an earthly king to destroy the Romans and give them freedom. The psalmist says, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you then will be saved. In the story of Palm Sunday, as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, this is his final time, and he knows that. They don't. The Bible says that he wept with tears. He already knew how the people would respond to him that week. His heart was broken for the sins of this world. And His heart is broken today for our sins and the sins in this world. He knew that many of them would turn their back on Him just like that. He knew that Peter would deny Him three times that evening and morning of Thursday and Friday. He knew that many others would betray Him and that Judas would sell Him out for 30 pieces of silver. And He knew that the cries of Hosanna would turn to crucify Him. We have no king but Caesar. And so Luke recorded as He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it. And He said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And Paul says, one day we will see, we see dimly now, but one day we will see clearly when the scales of our spiritual eyes fall and we see Jesus, not just on the cross, but high and lifted up in all His glory. The message of salvation is why Jesus came. It's why He entered in Jerusalem, knowing full well that He would die in just 5 days. The message of salvation is why we come here today. If you're here for any other reason, you're here for the wrong reason. We're here to worship our Savior who brought us salvation we never earned and deserved. So if you know it, repeat with me John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then He went on to say, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world, that you and I and all that live here should be saved. John 10:10, John said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So I want to remind us today as we enter into a time of remembering, we have so much to give thanks for. We have so much for which we've been blessed, and we are here to worship our God for His blessings to us. Now Satan knows the truth. Satan knows the end of the story. Satan's just living in denial while God allows him to reign on this or rule on this earth. Satan wants to distract us any way he can to keep us from the true meaning of this week. So who knows what Satan might throw in your path, even today, to keep you from remembering Him and recognizing Him and knowing that His presence is with you always. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Satan will cause you not to remember Jesus and what He did. Satan will bring other things to your mind. Satan will make you doubt like he did Thomas. Satan will make you deny like he did Peter. Satan will make you betray like he did Judas. Satan will make us cry, crucify, like he did the crowds. Satan will cause us to falsely accuse Him like the Pharisees and the others did. Satan may make us cause us to wash our hands and walk away like Pilate did. And we may even whip Him again like the soldiers did. We might even run away. That's what, if Satan reigned in our life, would happen. But he doesn't reign in our life. God reigns in our life through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I give you the Holy Comforter. I will bring my Comforter, and He will be in you and through you, and He will remind you. And because of Christ's Holy Spirit within us, we don't fall to the temptations of Satan. We glorify His name. So, today, I'm asking you to make a conscious, deliberate, intentional, and a passionate decision to let Christ reign in your heart. Satan does not get to reign, to win. I don't want you to be concerned about the things of this world. I don't want you to be thinking about the politics of this land. Not even the cries of a wayward society. Not the mandates of people who are in power. I don't want you to be as concerned today for the hurts we've all suffered. the losses we've experienced. But I want us to direct our whole being to the one and the only who can deliver us from all those things and has and will. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. So, we focus today on what we call the Lord's Supper in the Baptist Church. In other traditions, it's called the Holy Eucharist. Some call it communion. All of those are accurate. All of those are good. And so we, through the remembering of the body and the blood, we give thanks for His broken body. We give thanks for the blood that was shed. We give thanks for His life that was given. We give thanks today for His resurrection. And we give thanks that one day He will come again. So would you bow with me in prayer? For a moment of meditation first, and a voiced prayer to follow. Maybe there's something on your mind now that has caused great difficulty in your life. Make that conscious, deliberate, intentional, passionate decision to give that to Jesus, if not for all times, for today. Maybe there's a sin in our life that must be confessed and confronted. Jesus said, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's a duty I need to fulfill. I've put it off long enough. The commitment in my heart is to obey God, not man. And finally, maybe there's a person in your life, you can't change them, but you can forgive them. You can't bring back the past, but you can change the moment and the future through Christ by forgiving. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son and paving the way for our lives so that we might be set free through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Thank You for this particular day that stands for the beginning of Holy Week that reminds us of all that You ever did for us, that starts a journey toward the power of the cross and the victory we receive through the resurrection and the rich truth that Jesus is truly the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May I, like the people in the streets, but unlike them, may we continuously say, Hosanna, save us, Lord. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. We confess that we are sinners, Lord. We know that this world alone, in it, we are lost. Our lives are incomplete without You. So forgive us this day our trespasses and our sin. Like David prayed, don't cast us aside, but renew a right spirit within us. We give You praise and honor for Your ways of righteousness and truth. We worship You today because You are holy and just. And we will declare that Your love will stand forever in our lives. So thank You that Your ways are far greater than ours. Your thoughts are far deeper. Thank You that You had a plan for our life, and in that plan was redemption, salvation, forgiveness of sin, and an eternal place in heaven one day. Though we have made things bad, You have made things new. So we give You thanks. We thank You that your face is toward our righteousness, and that you hear our prayers, and that You know our hearts. Help us to stay strong. Help us to be true. Help us not to follow after the voice of the crowd, to press close to You, hear Your still small voice, and seek You daily as we take up our own cross. We praise You We bless you. We thank you. You reign supreme. And we pray now as we enter into this very special time, we pray in the mighty and the strong and the powerful, but in the compassionate, loving, grace-filled name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gentlemen, would you uncover the table? It says in Luke's gospel, the day came of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus said to Peter and John, go and make preparations for us to eat this Passover. And we know the story that took place. Then they entered that upper room. When it came to that hour, Jesus reclined at the table with them. He said to them, guys, I've waited for this time. I've earnestly desired to eat this particular meal. They had no idea it was the last time for a while. He said, that's what I came here for. I've wanted this moment to happen before I suffer. For I tell you that I'm not going to eat it again until it finds fulfillment. What this represents finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So today we share what He shared. Today we remember what He taught us. And so once we begin, in just a moment, we'll speak no more words, but we will turn our heart and our mind to the Lord. And we will look to Him as He speaks to us, and we will remember what He said. He took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And He gave it to them all, saying, this is the body, my body, given for you. So when you eat it, do this in remembrance of me. And then, in the same manner, after the supper was complete, He took a common cup. And He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who's going to betray me is right here. But the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. This is my blood shed for you. Thank you. Gary Barker, would you come to the pulpit so you may be heard and lead us in the prayer thanksgiving for the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We adore you. We praise, Lord, and we worship you. And Father, as you hung on that cross bearing the sins of the whole world, you were thinking of us.
Yes.
And as you suffered, and as you bled, and as you died on that cross, Lord, you did that for me, for everyone. Lord, how can we say thank you? Lord, I pray that you would accept our worship this morning as we remember your broken body. In Jesus' precious name.
His broken body in remembrance of Jesus. Lise Harper, would you come to the pulpit and express our thanks for the blood?
Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how do we thank you enough for this blood you shed for us, Lord? Lord, you blessed us. Be with us as we bless you. Remember you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice you made for us, lowly sinners, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your spilt blood. In Jesus' name.
The blood shed up Golgotha's hill, from where he was scourged till he was nailed to a cross. Blood shed and fallen to the ground, staining the wood. His blood shed for the remission of our sins. Do this in remembrance of him. We cover this back up because this is finished. Jesus said so from the cross. But there's another symbol here this morning. Here on the Lord's Supper table is a folded napkin. And in the tradition of the Jews, when they were leaning and reclining for their dinners, sometimes they would get up, as we would do, to go to the restroom, maybe to go out and get another pail of water. But for whatever reason, they needed to leave a symbol so that those who were serving would know what to do. And the symbol was simply this. If you were coming back, you folded your napkin and you laid it gently where you were seated. If you weren't returning, you crumbled it up and threw it away. When they opened the tomb and they entered the tomb on Sunday morning, one of the things they saw was his head cloth folded and laid gently. Right there. Because Jesus was telling us that day, he's coming again. And that's why we're here. Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus. So we're going to sing that great hymn of our faith this morning. And if he's paid it for you, celebrate his holy name. First of all, I want to present to you, this is Andrew. Had the privilege of sitting down with him the other evening, and he absolutely understands what he's doing, knows the Lord Jesus Christ. So he comes this morning to present himself for baptism and church membership. Do I have a motion to receive him? And a second? And all God's people said?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Step down here. I'll let you stand here with your mom and let the folks come by. AJ, come down here. AJ came forward one morning. We had an unusual ending to our service and hasn't had a chance to have the right hand of fellowship made to him. So while you come down here to greet Andrew, I want you to greet AJ, and then Betsy can get both of their pictures. So we're celebrate the children. Don't let them, don't cast them away. Don't turn them off. Bring them in. Teach them about Jesus. Raise them in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they will not depart from it. Let's praise him. God, thank you this morning, this Palm Sunday morning, this morning when we remember. Thank you for all Jesus Christ has done for us. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. For these young lives who have turned their lives to you and have many years of growth before them, for their families and for all others, we praise your holy name today and we give thanks in the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.